Welcome once more to another Bible study. May you be blessed as we open the Word together. We are in Jeremiah. We read in Jeremiah 41 in verse 9, now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the man whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was it which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha the king of Israel, and Ishmael the son of Nethaliah filled it with them that were slain. Okay, now, why did God make a reference to Asa? Asa, man, he was 200 years earlier. What could this be? Well, we're going to have to look at Asa. Asa was really a very, very fine man. Asa was the third king that began to rule after the divided kingdom, after Solomon died. 20 years had passed when he began to reign, and about 2 years later, Baasha began to reign over Israel, and they were at tension one another. When we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and there we read where Asa is being encouraged in verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, who would have been one of the prophets in that day. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. While ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, this is a very interesting admonition to Asa. He is going to follow this, but he's also being warned. And that's what the Bible does to us too. You know, it's one thing to say, if you follow the Word of God, you do it God's way, you will be blessed. But, remember, if you turn away, then you're not going to be blessed. In other words, God gives both the plus and the minus. And we have to keep the minus in very great view. We're going to see that Asa did not and got himself into real trouble. Now for a long season, this is Azariah speaking. For a long season, Israel had been without the true God or without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto Jehovah God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. This is an admonition to Asa. It's an admonition to all of us. For your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of Jehovah that was before the porch of Jehovah. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that Jehovah his God was with him. Now, incidentally, this verse is describing a problem that's going to arise. Notice, we just kind of read through that real quickly, and it probably didn't even register. But look what it's saying here. Now, Judah is Judah and Benjamin. To the north is the nation of Israel. And what do we read here? He gathered all Judah and Benjamin. Yes, they all were pleased with the blessings of the Lord in Judah. And the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. In other words, the people of Israel were fleeing out of Israel into the land of Judah because God's blessing was in Judah. And that is what's going to create a big problem. We're going to see. So they gathered themselves, verse 10, at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. Okay. There was tension between him and Israel, and now that tension is going to be greatly increased, because at this time so many people are coming out of Israel into Judah. And so we read finally, these people entered into, verse 12, they entered into a covenant to seek Jehovah God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And Asa was so, this is really a very remarkable piece of information as we look at Asa, because God has so many good things to say about him, and yet we find out that something happened to him. In verse 16, and concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, she was the queen. She was had been married to his father, Abijah. So she was the mother queen. She was in high authority. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. You know, he really, to remove his mother from the position of queen took a lot of courage, and because that could have created all kinds of uproar in the kingdom. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, that's a very important piece of information. The heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Because from now on, what we're going to read about Asa is not so wonderful any longer. And yet, it indicates again that a true believer, when they get their eyes off Christ, they can get into very serious trouble. But he remains, his heart still remained perfect. In other words, the only way we can understand is he was a child of God. And what we read afterward of his conduct, he did so as a child of God, even though we can't understand it. But it does give us a little bit of hope when we see sins in our own life. So there was no war, verse 19, unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Well, now actually, this 35 is not talking about how long he reigned. He had only reigned 15 years. This 35 is 35 years after the kingdom was divided. And this is, we have to, only by understanding that are we able to synchronize the reigns of Asa and Baasha and so on. Now, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign, I'm looking at chapter 16. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign, in other words, he's been reigning 16 years now as king, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, the king of Judah. See where the problem arose? There had always been tension between them, but there was no open warfare. It was quiet between the two kings. But when all of these people from Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon began to migrate to Judah, this created enormous anger in the mind of Isa Baasha. And so he now came he began open warfare with Asa. Now Asa does something very strange. Given all that we've had so far, all that we've read about Asa, and it's all in the Bible, we haven't misread it at all. He was a man of God. He loved the Lord dearly. He had this huge and wonderful experience of going to the Lord when there's a million soldiers ready to try to conquer him, and how the Lord provided escape and so on. He's only been reigning 16 years. It hasn't been a long time. He reigned 41 years before he finally died. And now he does something strange. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of Jehovah and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, Syria or Assyria is an enemy of Israel, is an enemy of Judah, or rather. And he says, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. In other words, he took a lot of silver and gold out of Judah, sent it to really someone who had no identification with the gospel at all, and he had made a league with him. There had been some kind of a league already in existence when his father was king. But what should he have done when Baasha began to act up and become more open? He should have gone crying to the Lord, like he did before the million soldiers of Ethiopia came against him. But instead, he trusts in his wisdom. Do we ever do that? Do we ever do that? We go, everything goes along. We've been praying again and again for help here and for wisdom there, and God kind of guides us along. And then things go kind of sweet for a little while. And then another problem arises, and we begin to figure out, how can I solve this? We forget all about going to the Lord, just like he has forgotten all about going to the Lord. He's going to solve it. He knows exactly how to do it. There's some kind of a relationship already with Syria, and if he pays him off, he can get him to join his side rather than helping Israel. He will be helping Judah. And that's exactly what happened. In verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 16, then Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abomaim and all the storehouses of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. All right, now, what we're learning here, we've skipped over a few verses, what we're learning here is that Asa, or Baasha rather, who is the king of Israel to the north, as soon as he sees all of these people leaving his country, about 10 miles to the north of Jerusalem, he builds a city called Ramah. Remember, we saw that in verse 1. In the 6th and 30th year, that is the 21st year of, or the 16th year rather, that Asa had been reigning as king, he came up against Judah and built Ramah. And he built this as a very strong city. It's like a fortress. And it is to guard the entrance into Jerusalem. It's right near the borderline of Judah and Israel. It's in Judah, or it's right near the borderline, and he builds Ramah there. He builds Rhema. And so that this will act as a fortress and stop the people from going south into Jerusalem. And this was an open act of that Asa recognized as an open act of warfare, that Baasha is really not going to allow these people to be coming south anymore. And so we read in verse 5, and it came to pass when Baasha heard it, that he had heard that that now the Syrians are out there to help Asa, that he left off building of Rhema and let his work cease. So Asa's desire was accomplished. The fortress was not quite finished. It was a big fortress, as we're going to find out. But then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Rhema and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was built, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. And then Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on a king of Syria, and not relied on Jehovah thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on Jehovah, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of Jehovah run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have war. And it was true during the final 20-some years of Asa's reign. There was open warfare. And then we notice how Asa responded, and this is so hard to understand. Then Asa was angry, was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time, and so on. And it showed that even as a child of God, when you take your eyes off the Lord, you can really get into trouble. And then you can get into more trouble. Finally, he died. He couldn't even finish his reign, the last year of his reign. He was co-regent with his son, who incidentally was a wonderful man of God also, Jehoshaphat. So he had a godly family, you know, but he got into this problem, and he couldn't bring himself to admit his wrongdoing and cry to God for mercy. And how this can happen in the life of a Christian, it just indicates we don't sit in judgment of anybody when they fall away or appear to fall away. Don't right away say, well, obviously he wasn't a child of God, because we don't know. We don't know the heart of anybody. But we haven't solved a problem. Why in the world did God refer? Well, we can see that this is an illustration of the same thing that is happening in the days of Gedaliah and Jehanan and the Jews who remained in Jerusalem. They wanted their way rather than God's way, and all that came to them was death. And here is Asa wanting his way, going to the Syrians, and what happens is that from then on his life becomes miserable. Well then, how does that relate? Why did God mention this whole account in connection with building this pit? And we have to read between the lines a little bit, but the key word is Mizpah. Notice in In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 6, we read that then Asa the king took all Judah, and he carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. Mizpah was a city right close to Ramah, just a little bit south of Ramah. And here it says that he built it out of the building materials that had been used to build Ramah. Now, where was this pit located? Where Ishmael threw all the dead bodies? In Mizpah. In Mizpah. Now we have the connection. In Mizpah. What did that pit represent? What did that pit represent? What does any pit represent in the Bible? Hell. The wrath of God. Death. It is a dramatic illustration of what happens to those who go against God, that you come into a pit, you're dead. And we, reading between the lines, we can see what happened, that Asa, as he dismembered the buildings of Ramah and built Mizpah and Geba, that he also built this pit, a huge pit. Now, he may have built it as a place to store water. They did store water in those days in huge stone aquifers, huge stone pits, or it could have been built to store grain in, so that if there were ever a time of an enemy surrounding them and not giving them Judah trying to starve them, they would have this location for whatever the reason. We don't know. It either had to be used for grain or for water, but at least for trying to keep the people of Judah alive in the case of real difficulties. Instead, it became a pit of death, a pit of death. And I think that God, in this very interesting way, is really driving home a big point. You disobey God. You disobey God. And the end situation you will have is a pit, hell. You will be dead. You will be under the wrath of God. That's exactly what is happening in the churches today. They are disobeying God, and they're not coming around. They're not repenting, and they're under the wrath of God. And we see through this very curious statement where God is directing us to really understand how serious it is that we do God's way. Anytime we go our way against God's way, we're taking on God. Now, Asa did, and we don't know the closing years of his life. God doesn't disclose a whole lot more about Asa, except that this was a very bad time in his life. And later on, there may have been a lot of repentance and so on. God doesn't disclose that. That's not his purpose to show us that. He's only to show us that even if we think we're a child of God, even if we are a child of God, the moment we try to go our way rather than God's way, we will not have God's blessing. It's going to be super bad. And, well, now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 41. Chapter 41. And we won't be able to go any further in this because our time has run out. But then we're going to continue in our next study in verse 10. Then Ishmael, and we're going to see the death of Ishmael, and we're going to see the rising of the next figure that's important in this account, Johanan. And we're going to see what follows next. And it's when we get acquainted with the Bible and know how God blesses those who obey and does not bless those who not obey, we're going to understand what is going on very quickly.